Title of this message, Something is Not Right. In life, when everything is all in place, and all of a sudden a storm hits in, and then you wonder what's going on. Something is not right. When a boxer in a competition knows that he gave more punches, and yet he lost, something is not right. When the economist believes that it is stable and we should not be afraid, but the nation was struck badly, and we know something is not right. Everything has been in place, and we wonder why it went wrong. Something is not right. And there is a passage in the Bible that the two sisters wondering what is actually happening. And the scriptures gave us a revelation of God's intention. And let us see for a moment John chapter 11, just verse 1 to verse 6. We will go through many other scriptures, but for this moment, let's see verse 1 to verse 6. He says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha." Verse 2, "This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair." Verse 3, "So the sister sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.' When he heard these, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.'" Verse 5, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick," listen to this, "he stayed where he was 2 more days. I remember when somebody calls me out of an urgent need, what do I do as a pastor? You take your car and drive to the place immediately, right? Here there is an urgent call for Jesus to come to do something about Lazarus' life because he's so sick. And the Bible says in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and Mary. He loves the family. Yet, he stayed further on for 2 more days. Brothers and sisters, something is not right. Jesus loves the family very much, but he stayed 2 more days. Jesus made a very strange decision that doesn't make sense, and something is definitely not right. Those of you, if you are going through courtship and if you are going through premarital counseling, we normally will place you under one area to test your love language. Am I right? Those of you who are married, you have been told about your love language. Some of you, you are very interested with words of affirmation. You like your husband or your wife to say, "I love you." Words of affirmation. Some of you like the acts of service. You love your husband more as long as he mowed the lawn. Amen. Receiving gifts. Some of you love to receive gifts. Why is it my birthday? My husband didn't buy gifts like me. Never buy flowers, never buy anything. Just show yourself. Some of you love quality time. You oftentimes tell your husband, "You're so busy, but you never spend time with me." You like the quality time. Some of you like the physical touch. After all that you have done, just a touch on your wife's back, she feels okay and she forgives you. Just the physical touch. But you know what God's love language is? God's love language is all about trust. God's love language is all about trust. If you do not pay close attention to God's language of love, you will never understand this passage. You will probably be confused because the love language of God is purely trust. This is a very strange response from Jesus, by the way. He stayed two more days because he loves them. How do you like that? Every time my husband goes out, he never calls back. He travels overseas, he never calls. Why? Because he loves you. Doesn't make sense. And this is the exact situation. So I begin to ponder over this area, and I realize God's job is to produce the outcome. Am I right or not? It's his job, not your job, not mine. But our job is to go through the process. His job is to produce the outcome. My job is to go through the process. The problem is a lot of us are not going through the process. And we do not want to. You know, if you look at the faith that God is speaking to me in terms of the process, is that sometimes we think that when we exercise that faith, God will appear and answer your prayer straight away. How many of you know that you have prayed so much of your faith, yet there is no answer? I want to be realistic with you, because our faith is not to manipulate God into our schedule. You with me? With our faith, we are to trust God for his schedule and not ours. So there is no need for that manipulation. I prayed so many years. I prayed for my husband. I prayed for my children. I prayed for my wife. I prayed and still there is no answer. We do not manipulate God into our schedule. But we can expect God to work something that your eyes cannot see yet. And that requires you to go through the process. But we are not willing to do so. My faith believes that when I pray, I can't see the thing, but I know something is going to happen. That's what my faith goes. I may not be able to see him fixing my situation according to my schedule, but I do know that something is going to happen. How many of you believe that when you pray, something is going to happen? Did you see that faith that you have? Come on, if you are excited for the Lord, I want you to give the Lord glory. Hallelujah. But look at another problem here. Look at another problem. A messenger was sent by Mary and Martha. He came to Jesus. He told the situation. Then he went back. Mary and Martha will be expecting the messenger and Jesus. Am I right or not? But Jesus did not appear. Martha mentioned it very clearly. Lord, the one you love is sick. Come quickly, come quickly. The one you love is sick. But the Bible tells me that Jesus did not. Many of our prayers are desperate, just like Martha's. We prayed many times. We call out upon Jesus, said, Jesus, my son is a rebellion freak. Please arrest his attitude. For 10 years, his attitude's still the same. Hey, Lord, I'm running out of patience. Please deal with my situation. I can't take it anymore. And yet, it delays for another 3 years. Dear Lord, please send him away. I can't bear looking at him. Some of you have been praying for your boss that manner. Please send my boss away, Lord. I can't tolerate him. And then the next thing, the Lord told you to resign. Some of you pray, dear Father in heaven, my family needs more grace. I'm running out of funds, Lord. Please help. No answer. We can feel like as though Martha felt that day. In raid, he did not come. Why? Because he loves them. I'm quite concerned about that word. Because he loves them. We need to understand his love language. Jesus said that this sickness will not end in death, but it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Something is still not right. How could the death ends up become the glory for the Lord? I thought if the solution is solved, then it will be for God's glory. But it was not so. You see, the delay will worsen the sickness and it might lead to death. How can the death be for the glory of God? It doesn't make sense. And I realized this is written by John in John Gospel. And we need to read John Gospel and notice John's emphasis. And if you realize and look at the two scriptures I'm going to put up here on the slides, John chapter 11, verse 14 to 15, he says this. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. And then John 20, verse 30 to 31, he said, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not yet recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah. So what is John's purpose and emphasis is oftentimes to get people to believe. So if you read and understand that every delay that he made is not his denial, his delay was to get everybody to believe in him. So if you say, Pastor, my prayers have been going through for a year or two and nothing is happening, God is drawing you to believe in him. Watch that. See, John wrote in AD 85, Jesus crucified at AD 32 to 33. We are talking about 52 years. 52 years later, John wrote about Mary. Look at your text carefully. But before I show you verse 2 that was written in parentheses, you and I must understand what John was trying to show us when he wrote about Mary. And I'm going to show you John chapter 12 first. Look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12 verse 1 to 3 says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany when Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. That was in chapter 12. But in chapter 11, in verse 2, John decided to put this in parentheses. Look at verse 2. What did verse 2 say? This Mary, now John is identifying who this Mary is. He said, this Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured a perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. They did not leave out in chapter 12 yet. They were still living in chapter 11. Chapter 11 is about Lazarus' death. But here John is trying to show you who this Mary is. Brothers and sisters, I want you to capture this. This is a very powerful statement. The reason why that these people were living in chapter 11, Mary was described as the one that was in chapter 12, the one who has such an intense worship unto Jesus, the one who is willing to bow down and pour the very expensive perfume on Jesus' feet and use her hair to wipe. She is an intense worshiper of God. And now in chapter 11, John is trying to show us this is that woman, the same woman in chapter 12. This is the same woman in chapter 11 who is an intense worshiper of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, if you are not an intense worshiper, you can't go through that problem like this. Mary is an intense worshiper. She's willing and able to go through the situation. If you and I are not intense worshiper of Jesus Christ, we will never go through the problems. And you know what? They will go through until the end for the glory of God. That is what an intense worshiper would do. Have you ever thought to yourself, did you see yourself as a redeemed person? Have you seen yourself being restored? Have you seen yourself being healed with the testimony? Have you seen yourself being empowered by God? Have you seen yourself getting better in the grace of God? Have you seen yourself being freed in the name of Jesus Christ? If you have been, then you should be an intense worshiper for Jesus Christ. Why do you keep it to yourself? And being an intense worshiper, you do not see the problem, and then you begin to doubt him. But when you see the problem, you know you can go through until the end of his glory. If you can do that, you will see that it ends in the glory of God. That's the kind of Mary we are talking about. But you know what? The disciples were pretty confused. They could not understand. If you look at John 11, 7 to 13, he says to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back. You got to be crazy. They want to kill you and you want to go back." You know what Jesus answered? "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble. For they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." Listen to this. After he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I'm going there to wake him up." And the disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Isn't it? He will get better." And Jesus had been speaking of his death, but the disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So the disciples who followed Jesus were pretty confused about Jesus' intention. Jesus is speaking language that many of us would not understand if you are in that moment. Why is it that they did not understand? I'll tell you why. Very simple. Because they have not seen the cross yet. They have not experienced the resurrection. The disciples cannot understand or comprehend Jesus' purposes. They can't, because they have not seen the cross. You and I have seen the cross. You and I have experienced the resurrection power. We should not be confused. We should not come to a point and say, "Why is this not done yet? Why is my problem not solved yet?" Listen, brothers and sisters, if you have seen the cross and you have experienced the resurrection power, I believe that every delay has a purpose of God. Every situation that is not complete yet has a purpose of God. The world is not finished yet. So we need to sit back and say, "Lord, show me your plans. Show me your purpose. Show me your ultimate glory." That's what we should be doing. You see, I always remember God is the God of outcome. But I need to go through the process. I need to go through the process of whatever disappointments, whatever delays, whatever uncertainties. I need to go through that process. Then I can understand that there is faith in me to believe for the ultimate outcome. Many believers today, the moment they did not receive the answer, they started to doubt God. They started to doubt because they did not get what they want. And the worst thing is this, they continue to break every instruction, every advice given by the Lord. They continue. Why? Because they could not understand. Maybe because they don't understand the cross. Maybe they don't understand the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. The society in Australia need to come to reality of who He is. He is the living Christ. And the situation was not according to our time, but according to His time. And you may say, "I do not know why He's not doing what I want Him to do. Is it because He did not love me?" Brothers and sisters, please understand this. The love of God is not based on what He does. The love of God is based on what He has chosen. He has chosen you. Somebody say amen. And if you look at yourself in the mirror, you can truly say, "I am loved." Are you there? His love for me was never based on what He did. It was based on His choice over me. And I believe He has placed His choice over you. When God did not answer our prayer, listen, brothers and sisters, in case you have been praying for so many years and you say, "God did not answer my prayer," listen to me. If He ever answer your demands, there will be problem. Can you imagine a 5-year-old kid goes to the father and say, "Dad, give me $500. If your prayer is such and God answer your prayer, I believe there will be problem. And there is a reason why God never answer all our prayers. Because He knows the ultimate before we could see it. And because of our faith, because of who we are as intense worshiper, we will sit back and look and ask for His ultimate glory. And this is what happened, the kind of faith we are talking about. If you look at the next passage, John 11, verse 14 to 16, this is the description of Thomas' faith. Look at the verse. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. You listen to Jesus' word, let us go to him. Remember earlier? And in verse 8, but Rabbi, are you serious? They were about to stone you to death, and now you say you're going there? And guess what? When he said this, in verse 16, then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, he told them, hey guys, let us also go that we may die with him. So his understanding is this. Well, I know Jesus is going there and people are trying to kill him. Well, we might as well go with him and die together with him. That was his understanding. He didn't understand the rest of the story. He could not even see what Jesus was trying to do. But all that his faith had within him was just follow Jesus. He said this, I'll follow him. And so Thomas' faith is a radical faith. It's not a foolhardy faith, but it's a radical faith. This particular passage was inserted there to show us how powerful faith is. When even when you follow Jesus and could not even understand completely. How many of you know that I don't understand everything God has for me, but I'll just follow him? Are you with me? Nobody goes around and say, wait until I understand. Wait until he showed me the plan. Wait until, hey, if he show you the plan, that is not faith. Faith is about what you cannot even see beyond yourself. But I don't fully understand what God is doing. I don't fully understand the things that are happening in this world. But I will follow him. Oh, Steph just, had a worship song with that. Follow Jesus no matter what. And that's exactly what Thomas' faith is. Some of us here, I don't understand, so I didn't want to follow Jesus all the way. That's the problem with you, not the problem with God. You're with me? We follow Jesus even though there are times I don't fully understand. Brothers and sisters, I may not fully understand everything. Even what the Bible described, there's some interpretation is so hard. But I still believe that Jesus is far beyond that. He's the sovereign King. And I will follow Jesus. Some of us here today are still living with the starter kit version of Christianity. You know what is a starter kit version? We are still at a very shallow part of our faith. We never understand anything and everything. But we never choose to understand. My wife was saying that sometimes people lack the foundation. I was telling my wife while coming to church, I said, it's not because they don't have foundation, because they choose not to have the foundation. The problem is not the foundation. The problem is that they make that choice. I didn't say like that in the car, by the way. I'm just passionate over this issue. Everybody's giving excuse. No, the person got very low foundation. Yeah, he needs Bible study. Yes, he needs Bible study. But it's the choice that is the issue. It's not because we don't have Bible study. Are you with me? A lot of people are blaming a lot of the consequences of the problem, but the real issue is your choice. We made a wrong choice. Made the wrong decision. And our starter kit version is because we never had a desire to grow. You see, when Jesus loved us, I know he's never late. He will never be late. But in our understanding, he is late. But in God's kingdom, he's never late. Because there is something about the end of his glory. Something about the glory of God. It was never late. So the reason of Jesus delayed is spelled out subsequently. And this is where we need to understand. It may be strange as far as the delay is concerned, But it is true because he wants to show forth his glory. John 11 verse 17. On his arrival, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. We all know that Jewish mysticism believes that the Jewish people teaches that any diseased person's spirit remains around the body for up to 3 days after death, before departing. So this is an understanding. So they have these mystical beliefs. So on the fourth day, they know that the spirit have left the body and went over to the Hades. In view of that, there is no more hope for any miracle. And guess what? Jesus decided to go on the fourth day. Because he knows, if he were to go to Lazarus and bring healing upon him, which it will be, and all of a sudden, this mystical Jewish beliefs will say, well, that's no big deal. Because the spirit of the dead person is still hovering around the body. So it's no big deal. But when it comes to the fourth day, then it is a miracle. So Jesus knew that there is such a belief that is going around. And that is one very powerful reason why he delayed. Because of the glory of God. So now we understand that we are all now built into God's schedule because of the circumstances. This is the reason why Jesus waited for their time period to expire. And many of us don't realize that all of us have the time period that is placed upon us. We have expiry dates. Somebody say amen. We all have that, right? It doesn't mean that when you're old, your expiry date is closer. You can be as young as a baby, and yet your expiry date can be very close. We don't even know. But all of us have the date schedule from God. You understand what I'm saying? You see, Jesus would do anything and everything possible within his schedule over us. So we all have schedule, even in the process of our activities. So whatever you do, there is a time schedule. You see, the Bible tells me, God waited 400 years for Israel to remain in Egypt. Only until then they were released. God waited for 40 years to speak to Moses in the flames of the burning bush. Why not 10 years, 20 years, but why waited 40 years? There is a time schedule that God placed on Moses. God waited 40 years in the wilderness before approaching the promised land. And not only that, God waited for 70 years before releasing the Israelites to return to their homeland. There is a time schedule on your life and everybody's life, and it's not the same. So whenever we walk every day with the Lord, we know there is a time schedule. And don't get worked out if your prayer has been delayed. My prayers have been delayed, but I will still pray. I will pray until it happens. Somebody say amen. No matter what your situation is, you keep praying until it happens. John 11 verse 19, listen to this. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. And verse 20, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. This is a very interesting thing, but I need you to see something. Looking at verse 30. Look at verse 30. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village. Listen to this. But was still at the place where Martha had met him. You know, brothers and sisters, Martha did not take the matter quite well. She heard that Jesus was coming. She went out to the gate at Bethany. And before Jesus could enter, she was at the gate. She did not even allow Jesus to enter yet. She was speaking to Jesus at the gate outside the village. Now, when I start to think about this, I was asking a question. What was Martha thinking? You called Jesus to come and now he came and here you are standing at the gate outside the village while Jesus is standing there. He hasn't gone in yet. and you communicated with him that manner. So this is what happened. I began to realize this, that God will come as far as we let him into our lives. God will come as far as you let him into their lives. That's why Revelation says God is still knocking at the door. That passage was meant not for the non-believers, was meant for the believers. He was knocking at the door. He's not inside yet. Brothers and sisters, do you know there are Christians today who call themselves a believer where Jesus is still outside the door? He will only come as far as you let him come in. And I thought that is exactly what I did. I will only go as far as I am invited. I will never go to your house if I'm not invited. I will not. I will never push myself in and say, hey, I'm your pastor. You better let me in or else. Only Peter can do that, but I can't. I'm a very gentle person. I do not knock at your door. I only wait for your invitation. Listen, brothers and sisters, God will only come as far as you let him come. In John 11:21, this is the beautiful part about Martha. He says, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Did you notice that Martha mentioned the word Lord? Even if you have not been here, you are still the Lord. Even Lord, you have not answered my prayer, you are still my Lord. Even you have delayed from answering my prayer, you are still the Lord. Even you have not even answered positively, instead you answered negatively, you are still my Lord. That is who Martha was at the time. But it went on further in John 11:22. This is Martha's faith is now not only believing who Jesus is, but is stretching towards her hope. You know what the Bible says? Verse 22, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. She is stretching her faith towards hope. She is still believing that the Lord can change the course of direction. Oh, I've learned that from Martha. I'm just saying, Lord, I know you have not answered, but I know you still have the power to change that. You still have the power, and that will be my prayer every time. If things are not done yet, Lord, I still believe you can still change it. And that is what Martha did, stretching towards that faith. Martha's faith was the kind of hope that every one of us would like to have. We hope for change in our situation. But in reality, the problem was, it was not the right kind of faith. You see, Martha's faith was on the situation. She was not fixing on the person. That is why the continuous conversation they had in verse 23 to 25, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know he will rise again in the resurrection and the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And the one who believes in me will live even though they die. So you see, Martha's faith, apparently like any one of our faith, we just hope, God, you. I know you can change. You are the Lord. And Jesus said, yeah, I know I can change that. Martha forgot that the person is far more important than her situation. Many of us believers, we are trapped with our situation. We are not fixing our eyes on Jesus. And we claim it verbally with our lips and our mouth, and we say, Jesus, you can. I know you are the awesome God. You are the Alpha and Omega. But when the situation, when the rubber meets the road, we look at our situation. Lord, please do something. Change it. We forgot to lift our eyes. Lord, you are the sovereign King. My circumstances are right in front of me, but you are the one whom I fix my eyes on. You have the power to do anything. And I want to ascribe unto you, you are my King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are my Savior, Lord, and I will trust you no matter what my circumstances is saying right now. Because you are the one who gave me life. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You will ascribe to him who he is. Every sickness we see, we focus on the sickness, but we forgot that the source of help, the source who can heal, the Jehovah Rapha, Jesus Christ. And that's whom we should be fixing our eyes on. Brothers and sisters, John 11, 26, 27 went on to say, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And Martha answered, yes, Lord. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Listen to this. All of a sudden, there was a change. There was a switch from the situation. She looked and said, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah. Now she kept her eyes on the person. Martha's faith is now geared towards Jesus and Jesus alone. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah. I'm giving you a tool to see God doing a work of miracle in your life. Many a time we missed it because we look at our circumstances. We forgot the person, Jesus. And after this, verse 28 to verse 29, after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and he's asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went. Now, you remember Mary is a very intense worshiper. Am I right or not? You know what the Bible says? She was the very one that came and approached Jesus. The Bible says she bowed down. This is an intense worshiper. She never compromised anything. She bowed down before the Lord. She fell at the feet, the Bible says. And then after that, with the conversation that was over, Jesus went to her and said in verse 34, where have you laid him? He asked. You see, Jesus wants these people to take him to that place. And this is where we all believers need to understand. When you have an issue of life in this place, and you call upon him, the Messiah, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, and the Lord says, where is your problem? You must take him to that problem. The moment you recognize who he is, he wants you to take him to that place. Where is the place where you were suffering? Where is the place where you had your disappointment? Where is that place? And that is the place where the Lord says, take me over there. Where do you lay him? Where do you lay your problem? Where do you hatch your problem? Where do you hatch your disappointment? Bring me there. That's what the Lord is asking today. And then, verse 35, Bible says that he wept. And in verse 38 to 39, with his empathy and his emotion, Jesus once more deeply moved, verse 38 to 39, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. And Martha says, but Lord, the sister of the dead man, and says, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Lord, you are asking me to take you to the place, but God, it has been there for a year. He has been there for 5 years. He has been there for 10 years. Now it stinks, Lord. It's eating my life right now. And it stinks. It's corroding. It's corrupting. I don't think you want to take these things into your hands. And the Lord is telling me, when he spoke to Martha, he says, remove the stone. Until we open the closed door where all our rotten, unresolved problems are kept, Jesus will not speak with his authority. Until you open that door that you have kept all the bitterness and pain and sorrow and disappointment and fear and all the corrupted and corroded situation. And the Lord says, take me to that place. Lord, it's here, Lord, it's here, it's right here. And the Lord says, open the door. Because Jesus wanted to speak with his authority. He says, open the door. And we are so afraid to open. We kept a lot of Lazaruses inside here. That's the reason why we are not able to see the miracle of God. We are seeing a lot of Lazaruses inside there too long. There are expiry dates, but he has been kept there too long. Because we think that God doesn't care anymore. We just keep it. We prayed for a year or two or three. Nothing is resolved and the pain is still there. The disappointment is still there because God is not answering. And it's long overdue prayer. But the Lord says, take the stone away. How many of you church today would take that stone away? You know why? The moment you take the stone away, Jesus spoke right out, Lazarus, come out! In the name of the Lord, I pray that all your rotten stuff and all your filthy stuff and all your disappointment will get out in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. The Lord has all the authority. How many of you believe that? The Lord has all the power to do that. The Lord has all the authority to break the curse in the name of Jesus. Yes, open up the door. Open up. Open up. Don't hide inside. You have been saying, Lord, it's long overdue. Yes, it's long overdue. But today is the day that the Lord has made. And he wants to cast that out in Jesus' name. All the hurts, all your pains, they have been delayed. There was no answer. Sometimes because we prayed wrongly. Sometimes we are not able to follow his instruction. There was no answer. There was no willingness to forgive. There was no willingness to let go. The Lord says, if you want to see the thing come out, open the door. Open the door. Open the door. He's still knocking. Open that door. If you think something is not right, I want you to know that his timing is always perfect. Are you with me? His timing is perfect. His love is far beyond your personal desires. It's not about what you want. Lord, don't take it away. This is what. And because of that, it was released to you. You kept it. And it was rotting inside. Sometimes it's because we made the mistake. Yes. God is not there to condemn your mistake, but you kept your mistakes. So God says, open up that door. Take him to that place where despondency, depression, hopelessness, sadness, pain, sorrow, remorsefulness, they are all hidden inside. And your emotion, your mind, and your spiritual life struggles every day. And they are all kept inside. Brothers and sisters, remove the door. Remove the closed door for him to take authority over those corruption, corroding issues, and also death. And I keep hearing these words. Lazarus, come out! Lazarus, come out! Lazarus, come out! And I say it to you, in the name of Jesus, let all corruption get out of your life in Jesus' name. And you will be set free and you can celebrate all the days of your life. The Lord says this. He doesn't want people to be corrupted. He says, I came to give you life and life abundantly. That's who he is. He came to give you life. But he wants you to open up that door so that whatever that can be cleansed, he's going to give you that life inside you. Somebody said, amen. Come on, let's give him praise and glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, there is so much that God wants to do right in our spirit, man. We can never understand the delay, but it was never God's denial. It was God's way of showing how much He loves you, because ultimately He wants to have all the glory. And we are here today to give Him all the glory. The only way to give Him all the glory is to open up that door and let Him speak the authority into your life and set you free in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Kisarabakasanda. Even right now, if your hearts are open to the Lord, whatever it may be, no matter what mistakes, God is not here to condemn. He wants to replace it with His life into you, because those are corroding, those are eating you up. Come on, the Bible says, open up that door, let Him come to you and speak with the authority, let Him release the power into your life and cleanse you in the name of Jesus, that He will place His life abundantly. He will place His resurrection life. You can experience that life. Church, we want to experience that life of revival in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, hallelujah.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.